This is professional wrestling legend Downtown Bruno, who is privileged enough to be on the Oversell podcast.
It is episode 50, and we are talking all things professional wrestling. Get ready. This is the Oversell podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mike.
And we are here to talk some professional wrestling. I hope you've been getting through the week all right. We're happy to be here with you. But before we get to the wrestling talk, be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast. I am at Derek Oversell, D-E-R-I-C-K, Oversell.
I am at One Dangerous Dan. I'm also on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
At WolfMike23.
Also, be sure to head over to OversellPodcast.com and check out our sponsor. Whether they know it or not, they're a sponsor at on the Amazon link right underneath the main player. Just click that link, shop, shop, shop till you drop, drop, drop. And you know, you're going to be helping out this podcast. There's no hidden fees. There's no extra fees. There's nothing like that. It's just you helping this podcast out by doing shopping you're already going to do on Amazon. Guys, how are we doing this week?
Tired.
Yeah.
It's another week.
You know, at least there wasn't 14 hours of wrestling this past weekend to watch.
Yeah, really?
I took a chance. I knew it was going to be great, but I watched New Japan Pro Wrestling. They had their Invasion Attack card this week. It's amazing how much that company gets it over there.
Yeah.
The wrestling, they had Kushida and Will Ospreay. They had this match that is probably it outdid Nakamura and Zayn.
Oh wow.
Damn.
I mean, these guys, I would call it the match of the year. I thought it was incredible. You know, it was that hard-hitting Japanese style, but it was also just pure wrestling.
Hmm.
Have you seen Will Ospreay wrestle?
I have not.
You got to look him up. Look him up on YouTube. Mike, you've seen?
I think I've seen him before.
He does a lot of stuff over in Progress and Evolve and Rev UK Pro and all those guys. And, you know, he's wrestled Zack Sabre Jr. a bunch, and Marty Scurll and Tommy End and those type of guys. Hard-hitting match. Okada, this is going to upset Mike a little bit, dropped the NJPW heavyweight title.
Boo!
To Naito. But, dude, it was another incredible match, man. And this Naito is part of this. Los Inables, I can't say the name, but it's this stable with him and two other evil-looking dudes. I mean, one of the guys' name is Evil. and Bushi, I think, is the other guy. And they're just these heels. I think, like, this guy went to Mexico for a while and kind of adopted a Mexican style to his wrestling. And I'm still learning a lot of stuff about over there about New Japan. Shibata defended his never open weight title, and that was a hell of a match.
Shibata's good. Shibata.
I mean, New Japan is just so entertaining. Now, granted, their shows are extremely long, but they are worth every penny. It's only 999 yen to subscribe to New Japan World, which comes out to like $9 or something in U.S. dollars a month. So it's actually cheaper than the WWE Network.
Yeah.
And you get access to the full catalog of New Japan World. You can go back and watch the Wrestle Kingdom shows. You can watch, you know, anything New Japan. Go watch some old Masahiro Chono matches and the Great Muda and stuff like that. I mean, it's a hell of a bargain.
Yeah.
And I'm getting into all the stuff in JPW, you know, Shibata and Kushida. Kushida comes to the ring, and he does this, like, back in time thing, and he comes out dressed like
Marty McFly
every pay-per-view. And the red vest, the blue jean shirt, and at Wrestle Kingdom he actually had Doc in the ring with a remote control just standing there going crazy.
Nice.
It was hilarious. But yeah, highly recommend this. New Japan World, you can Google New Japan World. Only 999 yen, it comes out to like $9. Shout out to New Japan World. I mean, it's a hell of a product, and you get to see some company that gets it. Not only did they put on a great show, but they have set up for like two shows down the road as to what's going to happen with Naito when, you know, we got this new tag team with Tama Tonga and his brother, the Gorillas of Destiny. And they, you've seen Tama Tonga, right?
I think so.
Got the white face paint and colored into his beard. Yeah. I mean, he looks just like a badass. Well, his brother comes in. He's got his own type of face paint, but they're all in the Bullet Club. And you know, the Bullet Club over there is kind of weird because it's kind of splintered off into two different factions. You have the Elite, which is the Bucks and Kenny Omega, and then you have Bad Luck Fale. Who was the other? There's the Gorillas of Destiny. Is it Tanahashi? No, it's not Tanahashi. I can't remember the other guy's name, but you know, it's interesting the way they develop their talent and everything over there, and it's a great wrestling show because that's what it's based on, the sport of professional wrestling.
Bullet Club over there seems like NWO size. It's huge. Like, every time you see a match, somebody's coming out wearing a Bullet Club shirt.
Yeah, and Ming at Wrestle Kingdom 10 came out in a Bullet Club shirt and wrestled in the Battle Royal before the show. But, you know, they've also lost a lot of members, and two of those members debuted on Raw this past week. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, check out. I highly recommend Invasion Attack. I thought it was an incredible card, especially if you need something to help you get away from the WWE. Now, WWE, I think, has turned up their game this past week.
This past 2 weeks.
The Raw after Mania was a little flat for me. Now, this past week was awesome. We'll get to it. But, it's interesting how everything's starting to change, and a lot of it is due to the unfortunate circumstance of injuries.
Yeah.
And we'll get to another injury that happened shortly. Yeah. I mean, golly. Have you guys checked out Lucha Underground?
I'm waiting for it to hit Netflix.
Okay. That's basically what I'm doing.
It is such an incredible show. They've been doing a trios tournament for their next trios champion, and they put Johnny Mundo, Taya, and Brian Cage as a team. And Brian Cage and Johnny Mundo do not get along at all. I think last season Johnny Mundo, who is actually right here, put Brian Cage through a cinder block.
Dang.
To beat them in a pay-per-view. And they busted cinder blocks over each other's heads, and them trying to work as a trios team just did not work.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to take on El Dragon, Aztec Jr., Rey Mysterio, and Prince Puma.
Wow.
El Dragon, Aztec Jr. did this move, and it was one of those things where he started spinning around the body, got launched into the air, landed on the guy, and did a tornado DDT.
Oh, wow.
It was one of the most athletic things I think I have ever seen.
That's how I get out of bed in the morning.
No, it's not. No. Yeah, you can't even make that
joke.
Sling
a across the room. Yeah.
Yeah,
is it like a tilt-a-whirl head scissors into a tornado?
Yeah, I mean, but he actually leaves the guy's body and like hovers over him for a second. He's turning and then catches him and does it.
Wow.
I mean, it's...
That had to be quick.
It was so awesome.
Wow.
But, you know, the thing I love most about Lucha Underground is they have their champion, but everyone in that company is a star.
Yeah. You said that before. You know, everybody seems like they're on even playing field.
Yep. I mean, now, Matanza Cueto, he didn't fight this week, but he is going to be in a title match coming up. And that dude is just dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
He is truly how a monster should be built. And he's just... Mil Muertes is going to be wrestling again soon. Pentagon Jr. I think is going to be off the show for a little bit, and that's their money guy. Pentagon Jr. is Cero Miedo, Zero Fear, is awesome. And I'm really enjoying that show. And, you know, I got to give a couple shout-outs because at my friend Fred at Letter K FABE Connection and at Shaggy Black have really opened my eyes to other companies outside of the WWE. And I'm trying to watch more and more because it's just when you've been watching WWE for a long time, you think, like, this is it. This is the only wrestling.
Yeah.
And at times, you know, there's times when every couple of years I would realize, like, I haven't watched Raw in a while. But now that my eyes are open, I'm like, wow, there's so much other wrestling out there.
There's a ton. I mean, it's just, you know, nobody has the money backing of WWE, of course.
Right.
But, you know, that's just the way the cards fall at the moment. You know, it would take another billionaire Ted probably to to even get in there and compete with McMahon.
And you know, if a company were to do that, what they cannot come in is try to be WWE Junior.
No, they can't do that.
Guess what?
TNA is that.
Yeah. Did you see the latest kayfabe news article about TNA? Where they moved their corporate headquarters to?
Well, I forgot what it said.
In a van down by the river.
Yep. In a van down by the river.
You know, if you could pluck any talent out of TNA and put them in WWE, who would you pick? There's really only one guy, I think.
I'd pick the Hardys out.
EC3.
I think EC3 would be the only guy.
EC3 definitely, fucking great. You know,
he's really torn it up over there. But other than that, you know, their talent.
I would say Bobby Roode, but you know,
yeah. Well, he jumped ship.
I think he's already here.
Eric Young.
Eric Young. He's rumored to be coming over too. I would have loved for James Storm to have stayed.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate circumstance, especially when he looks at Bobby Roode like, oh, Bobby.
Then he's
apparently
left.
They spent what TNA money they had left to get James Storm back, and they were like, well, fuck, we don't have enough money to pay anybody else.
And the crazy thing about that is they reunited James Storm and Bobby Roode as beer money.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, how they film their shows so far in advance. Mm-hmm. You know, Bobby Roode has already showed up at NXT, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And they're still showing him teaming with James Storm, like, every week on TNA.
And, you know, NXT does the same thing, except for a while there you kept seeing Bull Dempsey.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I got to go back and watch NXT from last night because Nakamura wrestled Ty Dillinger.
Oh, I bet that was good.
And it was an awesome match. So Nakamura's already 2-for-2 in his young NXT WWE career.
Apparently he had a scare too. He took a bad fall or something and they thought he was injured over the weekend. And
Yeah, I think I saw that.
It was like him, AJ, and Bray. Three of them. It was like back to back to back.
Did you see what actually happened with Bray?
I did not.
He looks like he locked up with Roman, and he pushed him into a corner, and then he just started grabbing his calf, and he tried to walk it off, and Roman didn't know what the hell's going on. Finally, Bray just collapsed and couldn't get back on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't look like it was like a contact injury or anything, which
it was
just
a pulled muscle or something.
It could be a torn muscle.
Yeah. Could have just popped something.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks. Non-contact injury. He just pushed Roman into a corner. It wasn't from a kick. It wasn't from a slide like Neville. It wasn't anything. It was just, ouch.
It's kind of what happened a couple months ago to one of the Grizzlies players at a game. You know, wasn't even going for the ball. He was just taking a step to the side after a shot and stepped backwards and just collapsed and tore his Achilles.
Same thing happened with a professional football player by the name of Kelvin Benjamin. He was just running a cut route.
Mm.
And when he cut back up the field, his cleat stayed in the ground. And his ACL went bye-bye.
Yep.
Ouch.
Yeah. Injuries suck, man. AJ had that big injury scare. Did you see that bump?
I didn't see the bump that AJ took either, but I heard it was bad.
Yeah. It scared the shit out of me when I first saw it. And I think Alberto Del Rio is doing a move off the top rope, and AJ did not land
correctly
very well. Yeesh. And, you know, thank God he's apparently all right.
I know they're a world organization. They're a multi-million dollar organization. Big, huge machine, promotion machine, and everything like that. But at what point do you have to start wondering to yourself, are we putting too much pressure on these guys? Are we giving them too many dates a year? You know, are we really pushing human limitations here?
Right.
You know, and putting this much stress on human bodies, you know, because eventually, you know, every human body has its breaking point.
Yeah.
You just have to find it. And they're finding a lot of people's breaking points right now. You know, there's unfortunate accidents aside, you know, when I was in the ring, yeah, I found that when I did get hurt or something, it was because I was tired.
Right.
And in my head, you know, I knew it was because I got lazy, I got sloppy if I did do something that hurt myself, you know. So, I mean, it was always in my head that, you know, I'm tired, I need to take a step back, or I need to take a few days off because I just about killed myself just then. Well,
yeah, so. these guys are on the road 300 days a year.
300 plus.
And, you know, I mean, it's like we talked about this later in the year, you know, near the end of the year, it seems like your storylines just are not there, that, you know, the product's not as good that time of year. And after Survivor Series, they should just stop for the year. run run specials, like interview specials this past year in review, you know. Do stuff like that. Give your guys a 2-month break there at the end of the year to spend time with their families, to rest on any lingering injuries that may be there.
Because everybody's got them.
Everybody has them. Everybody. Not one of them, you know, is in perfect health. And just, you know, I think that'd be great. Good recuperation. You come in, you know, January 1st, and you start building for the Rumble right there. First show back, and you can go balls to the wall for the next 10 months.
Or even if you don't necessarily, you know, fully shut down for a couple months, you know, almost have people work in shifts, you know.
Yeah.
These wrestlers are working from this time, then overlap a little bit, bringing people in, phase some people out, go with another roster for that time, and I think it would kind of keep things fresh, because then you would start forgetting. It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot, you know, these two people can wrestle now, you know, because they haven't been on the card.
You see, I think that would actually help the entertainment aspect, too, because you could have a shift of wrestlers that go and do entertainment shows. They do talk shows. They do the talk show circuit for a little while.
Right.
You know, they go and they make appearances. They go to hospitals. They do this. They do the charity work and everything. And they got some downtime. They're still going to the gym. They're still working out. You know, but it gives you some healing time.
You're not putting the stress on the body.
You're not wrestling in, you know, Brooklyn, New York on a Monday and then flying to Dallas, Texas the next day for WrestleMania week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to wrestle, you know, 4 or 5 matches, you know, on just NXT cards or whatever, you know, during that week. And then you got to make appearances and all that during the week. And then you got NXT Friday. You've got the Hall of Fame Saturday. You got this, that, and the other, you know.
Right.
And then back to back to back. And you got, you know, 48, you know, 96 straight hours of wrestling that whole weekend.
Yeah.
You know, following into the next week.
Think about Sami Zayn.
Then you got Monday. You got Monday you're filming Raw, and then you got Tuesday you're filming SmackDown.
Well, think about Sami Zayn. He had a match with Nakamura Friday night. You know, bunch of promotional stuff Sunday or Saturday.
Saturday.
A freaking 6-man ladder match.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think they're finding Monday net. They're like, hey, we're going to have Kevin Owens beat you down and get you out of this match because you need a break, man.
Yep.
But apparently, if you like go back and watch his post-interview after the Nakamura match, you could see whelps all over his body from all the knees he took.
No, I don't doubt it.
And that was still an incredible match, and I think I've watched it like 5 times now just because that match is just so awesome and so fun to watch.
I just love Nakamura's entrance.
The music was perfect, awesome. And you know, him just, he doesn't have like, he's not like a wrestler that has a rhythm to his entrance to where, you know, he takes 3 steps, does a flex, the pyro goes off or whatever. He just is doing his own damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson gyrating all the way down, throwing his weird little hand gestures and his arthritic hand movements, as I like to call them. And, but, you know, great match. But let's go into Raw. You know, do we want to go into the biggest news from Raw to me?
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
We got to see the debut of the Bullet Club. How awesome was it? The way they did everything. Just come in, kick ass, not even talk.
And leave.
And leave.
Yeah.
And did the little, you know, put your gun up. They did like that, you know.
Put my gun up, yes.
Yeah, your finger gun. But, you know, the only thing they said was, all right, take it easy, just being cool and, you know. Now, when you watched that, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Festus!
Second thing that came to your mind. What's the second thing that came to your mind?
Biscuits and gravy!
What's the third thing that came to your mind?
Probably something to do with bullets.
Outsiders.
I don't remember.
It was very, that day.
A little bit, yeah.
The way they just came in and beat ass and left, you know, it was very outsiderish debut. Now, I've seen theories as who they took out, the Usos, and who are they related to.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, and who is Roman Reigns got a tag match or a title match coming up against? So is this, you know, me for one.
But I mean, you know. To be fair, 75% of the roster is related to Roman Reigns.
Well, that's true. That's true. The Samoans are they're just all related. We know it by now. But, you know, I think I'd rather see AJ Styles with the Bullet Club than Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Because Finn Balor is kind of the face of NXT.
Right.
And it just makes too much sense. Now, if they wanted to bring Balor up, maybe AJ, maybe they turn on AJ and Balor comes up and is the new leader, and that puts AJ over as a babyface.
They'd mm-hmm. put a nice twist on it.
Yeah,
you know, Balor is so over as a face.
Well, you know, one thought is the freaking Gallows and Anderson were in the ring when AJ when the Bullet Club turned on him.
Yeah.
So maybe he, you know, they seem to be recalling a lot of information about AJ Styles and the Bullet Club from New Japan that WWE does, which is totally unlike them.
Yeah, because they usually don't mention any other place.
Yeah, but they're mentioning, you know, where these guys are from and stuff like that. So maybe they bring it in the storyline, like, I didn't forget what you did to me in Japan.
Yeah.
You turned on me, you let three people super kick me, and then you powerbombed me. I haven't forgotten about it. So it just, there's like, that's what's great about this is it's unpredictable. Yeah, we really don't know why they're there, you know, who they're with, and everything like that. And it's so refreshing.
There's a lot of possibilities and a lot of directions that it could go.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't fuck it up.
I do too. Cesaro and Owens, man, that was a great match. That
any Cesaro match is a great match.
That springboard twisting European
uppercut. It's brutal.
Oh, yeah.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. here's this big 6-foot brute flying through the air so gracefully and giving you one of just a hard European uppercut. You ever taken a European uppercut?
Oh, yeah.
How do they feel?
Very bad.
Yeah?
Did they feel European?
Yes. Knocked my head all the way to Europe.
Who gave you a couple?
Don't even remember.
I know it wasn't Mo because he's a little too short to try.
I know
to throw.
For sure I've taken some from Greg Anthony.
Oh, yeah?
I know for sure I took some from Greg Anthony. I'm thinking there's one or two other people, but I can't think of who they are at the moment. So.
Cool.
But yeah,
You know, it's going to be
they're rough.
So it looks like Cesaro is going to be wrestling Miz for the Intercontinental title.
Right.
And I think this is the time. It's the best time to put Cesaro on the title back on him mm-hmm. or put the IC title on him because he's hot. And I think he could be a great fighting champion. You know what they did? They kind of killed the IC title within 2 days by flip flopping it.
Yeah.
That night. And, you know, Owens, I thought, built that IC title up very well during his run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seemed to really care about it, you know, the way he held it.
He kind of blew Zack Ryder off, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's real interesting the way that did. I mean, they want, I guess, you know, I wish Total Divas would just go away, but they want Maurice on it or something like that. And
yeah.
It's
And that's why I'm thinking, you know, Miz isn't going to drop it anytime soon because they're bringing up Maurice, and that's,
yeah.
They want to market those, you know, another couple.
Yeah, well, they can market a couple and put.
I can see Cesaro chasing it for a month or two and then finally getting it, but yeah. I don't think he's going to get it, you know, the next pay-per-view or anything.
Natalya and Charlotte, I thought, had another great match. Those two have a great
match. Yeah, Natalya wrestled.
Yeah, and she's in the title hunt.
Yeah.
She is fighting for the title.
Yeah.
It was a year ago.
mm-hmm.
Recently, or in the next couple of days, it'll be a year ago when I started bitching about Natalya
mm-hmm.
and the Ascension.
One down.
Tag team to go.
Yeah.
Well, the Ascension is in that tag team tournament.
Yeah, but I think they're losing this
week.
Yeah,
they lose
tonight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. To who they lose? They're losing to Enzo and Big Cass?
Yep,
okay.
Enzo and Big Cass.
I'm actually fine with that because I like Enzo Big Cass. Because yep. Enzo, as a hype dude, is one of the greatest hype dudes.
Smack Talker Skywalker.
Dude, he has so much energy. And it seems like the more the people cheer and stuff,
mm-hmm.
the more he gives back because his energy level is just going through the
yeah.
roof even more.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. And Big Cass, you know, it's kind of funny when the first week they came out and Dudley Boyz kind of came in the ring, you know, Enzo's still smack talking, but he was doing it behind Big Cass.
Mm-hmm.
what are you going to do? And then, like, behind him and stuff. But, man, that they...
And I liked it, too, because... You know, the Dudleys weren't mic'd at the time, but when he finally handed the mic over to Big Cass, you could hear Bubba Ray. He's like, oh, is the big one going to talk now?
But yeah, they, you know, I was worried about when they came up how they were going to do it, but it's Triple H, I think, is starting, you can tell he's starting to get more control when he's letting people be
right.
the people they are. Like Nakamura coming in, like he came in. And it's like, I like going back to saying what Shaggy said. He, you know, we all thought he was going to be Mitsubishi Nintendo. And and he's come in. He's just been Nakamura. Triple H is like, when the fuck would I change anything?
Yeah, they haven't changed anything about him.
Get to the ring. You're late. Go.
Yeah.
Go. You may as well play. Go. Go.
Just go over here.
Just go. Yeah.
Yep.
I love that. I love his. But, it's great that characters are getting called up and, you know, being the characters that got them there. You know, they didn't make Enzo and I can't even make a joke. You know, they're not having them come out and talk shit about the demolition in Legion of Doom.
All right. Think about this. If there hadn't been so many injuries, who do you think, you know, everybody they've brought up since WrestleMania, which people do you think would still been brought up even if they hadn't been had so many injuries and open spots?
Enzo and Cass.
Enzo and Cass definitely would. Apollo Crews, I don't think would have been brought up. I think they would have kept it. I'm still shocked that they brought him up without putting the NXT title on him, because I for sure thought they were going to drop the NXT title. Because
he hadn't really been there that long.
Baron Corbin, I think, may still.
Do you think he would have been brought up or still?
Still down there.
Still down
NXT.
There.
You know, you had to put the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner and somebody. And, you know, I'm glad they did that. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I think Baron Corbin has turned up his heel game to another level here recently since the Breaking Ground stuff. So
definitely.
It's good that they're putting with Ziggler, somebody that, you know, can go and it's a good test for him to see if, you know, he can hang on the main roster.
Yeah, that, and it gives him somebody that, you know, if they're on the road or something, tell him to do this and do this. And it goes beyond the ring with that. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but I don't think, had there not been as many injuries, I don't think he would have been brought up. We said Enzo Cass would have been brought up anyway because they need tag teams. And it looks like with this tag team tournament stuff, it looks like a good resurgent for the tag team. You got the Vaudevillains in it.
Yeah, the Vaudevillains. Do you think they would have been brought up?
They debuted on SmackDown last week.
Yeah, on SmackDown.
And they're in the tournament. I think they're fighting tonight.
Yeah. I think they win. They beat Goldust and Truth.
Spoiler alert for those that actually watch SmackDown. I need to get better about it.
Spoiler alert for the three people that are listening or listening right now.
I guess by tomorrow when this release, it'll be act up.
Exactly.
So you can't get mad at me for spoiling SmackDown tonight. But I'm trying to think. I think Apollo Nation really is the only one. Apollo and Baron would still be in NXT had they not had so many injuries.
Right.
Now, I think there's the world ahead of Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
It's
Apollo Crews. Yeah.
I think there's a world ahead of him because that dude is, you know, I shout out to the Three-Handled Moss Cover Wrestling Podcast. They talk a lot about it, but, like, you know, they didn't really give him a character in NXT. And hopefully they're not doing Bobby Lashley 2.0.
That's kind of the feel you get. But honestly,
I think it's a better Bobby Lashley if it's a Bobby Lashley.
I think he's more athletic than Bobby Lashley.
More athletic, and he has more charisma too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he can actually talk on the mic if you give him a chance.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, Lashley right now, he's still in TNA, but you're still watching him on the mic. There's still something lacking there. I mean, he's got in-ring ability and all, and it's just his size and
with
build.
With Bobby Lashley, he needs a manager.
Yeah.
He's like Brock Lesnar. He needs a manager. He needs someone to talk for him, and he's just the muscle.
Yeah, with that physique and all, he should just be a beast, and somebody else should be the mouthpiece.
Yep.
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 Agreed.
I agree.
Crews, I think he's got it all.
I do.
That standing moonsault that he does.
It's incredible. Oh. And I love his finisher, man. I love that little twisting power bomb.
Yeah. It's something simple, but and when you see it, it's definitely a finisher, it could be.
Right.
You know, until he gets in a pay-per-view match and then people kick out of it four or five times and then it's just another move.
Right. Ain't that the truth? Kind of like the Styles Clash, which, oh, there a funny thing from Invasion Attack, Kenny Omega kept trying to do a Styles Clash on someone. Because I forget who the wrestler he was trying to do it, but Styles broke his neck or something. It was Yoshitatsu. He's trying to Yoshitatsu wrestled an Invasion Attack.
Nice.
Yeah. Kenny Omega kept trying to do a Styles Clash on him, but couldn't get it. Which, Kenny Omega, have you seen his finisher, the One-Winged Angel?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I haven't.
It is, I love that finisher, man. That thing looks so badass. But I digress. What, anything else you wanted to talk about on Raw?
The odd pairing of Reigns and Wyatt.
That you know, I actually liked it.
I mean, I liked it, yeah. But
and that spear.
Something you never saw coming.
Yeah, and, you know, they're trying to get Wyatt over as a character babyface.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're testing the waters with it. Like, they don't know if the fans are going to cheer Bray Wyatt. I mean,
they've
the
already,
fuck are they thinking?
They have already been cheering him since last summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, there was one show, and I can't remember if it was Raw or a pay-per-view, but the crowd was all swaying, like singing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you finally realize now that people are cheering for him. I mean, whenever he comes into the arena and they turn the lights out, it's still fucking bright as hell in there because everyone's got their cell phones out.
Yep.
And it's ridiculous how bright it is.
Yeah.
You don't understand it until you're actually there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can read a book in here right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. I came across something funny on reddit.com/r/squaredcircle, and it's a link. It's called saturdaymorningsteen.blogspot.co.uk.
Okay.
This is hilarious. It is a bunch of people who have taken Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, and photoshopped him into 90s cartoons. Let me show you my favorite. Here is him if he was on Doug.
Oh, nice.
He's doing a package powerbomb on Skeeter. There's another one. Let's see. Here he is on Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, I can see that.
And another good one. Oh, yeah, the real Ghostbusters. I like how they gave him the little bitty eyes that everyone on that character had, or everyone on that show had.
Yeah.
The last one I'll show you is, here is him as a Decepticon. He actually has the I love Kevin Steen shirt, or I love Steen shirt. It's so funny. It's any other things y'all wanted to talk about from Raw this past week? I mean, that spear on Sheamus was one of the best spears I think I've seen at the end of the show. Shane McMahon, you know, what do you guys think about Shane McMahon running Raw right now?
I think if they wanted to do that, they needed to, like, totally redo the finish of that WrestleMania match where it wasn't so cut and dry, maybe, you know? There might have been some controversy at the end of it, you know, but, like, still Undertaker won somehow, you know? And, you know, it's kind of pointless to say that's a stipulation in the match. And then the following night and the Raw after, there you are. You put him in charge anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it kind of like, it kind of craps on your own storyline to do that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, just my thought. But
and that's a big, you know, a really big stipulation.
Yeah.
I mean, on both parts, you know, Undertaker won't be at WrestleMania anymore, or Shane is in charge of Raw, which, you know, basically they said that was pretty much in charge of the company at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So now it kind of makes it seem like any kind of stipulation they have like that from now on, it's going to be like, well, it doesn't really matter who wins because they can still get their way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see something at Payback, maybe, you know, they bring that back into the fold, you know, and say maybe Triple H versus Shane.
You know, the Authority's been awfully quiet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen them since WrestleMania. Did y'all see, changing subjects here, did y'all see the pictures that WWE.com had of wrestlers holding older belts?
The old belts, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see those?
Yeah.
Oh, man, those are awesome.
There was one I saw, I think it was Mandatory on Facebook. They they had the one of Dean Ambrose holding the old Winged Eagle belt, and they edited it to where it said, "Mr. Ambrose, could you please hold me for just a little while longer?"
I like that one. My favorite was, of course, Kevin Owens just holding that Winged Eagle belt and just looking at it, man. I've never seen a belt.
Here.
Yeah, Roman looks all right.
And that's my favorite belt, too.
Yeah, that's the best championship belt.
That's the championship belt.
Sasha holding the original women's title. Rusev holding the European title looks pretty badass there.
Skip the
they
one,
need to bring that belt back.
Okay, apparently it's just skipping.
Nah, they got too many undercard belts, though.
Well, they need to bring something back. I mean, a belt that could be defended once, you know, on Raw every week.
I think.
Or on SmackDown.
Merge IC and US, bring in a TV title. Not, you'll have one belt for the IC title, US title merge, right? That's one belt, and then a totally different TV title belt.
Yeah.
They need. I miss having a TV champion. Oh, that Dean Ambrose picture.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the internet or just the site, but WWE constantly skips.
Their news site sucks. Ambrose, Sheamus holding the European. Pasty motherfucker. Natalya holding the women's title.
Women's.
Head over to WWE.com and see these current Superstar Classic Championship.
You know
photos.
That women's the women's title has only been through like a handful of changes.
Yeah.
I mean, like they've only literally changed the women's title like
three
times.
There it is.
Kevin, look at Kevin. That was meant to be.
Yeah.
George.
He's got that smirk on his face like, haha, bitch. Told you.
George in the chat room says, my nightmare was Ava Marie holding any belt. That's all of our nightmares. And if you like NXT, that nightmare, you may see that come to fruition one day soon.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
All red everything, no sell everything.
I saw a meme earlier today and had that at the top of it, and then at the bottom it had the thing from Family Guy where they're all throwing up in the living room.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. But yeah, these pictures, go check it out on WWE.com. They got a link for it right there on the main page. Current Superstars Classic Championships. Anything else from Raw? This week, Danny.
It was still 3 hours, so.
Yeah.
Hey, Shane, if you really want to make Raw better, please bring it. Make it 2. Because it's still so tough to get through. And I don't have a chance. I don't have a Hulu account. It's only 90 minutes on Hulu. You know, because it's.
Because they take out the commercials and stuff, yeah.
Right. But that's. It's a long time, man. What are you laughing at?
It's just like, you know, 3 hours of wrestling condensed into 90 minutes when you take the fucking commercials out, you know?
But they've got to be taking out other stuff, too. I mean, there can't really be an hour and a half of commercials.
Yeah, there's an hour and a half of commercials.
Well, just think you 15.
There's got to be, like, segment shortened or something.
Dude, let me tell you something. When we put NEW together over in West Memphis, we had to allot for advertisers. And everything.
Right.
The length of our matches had to allot for advertisers. Sometimes we went to commercial break during matches, you know, had to come back from matches and everything. They had to let us know, hey, all right, y'all can keep, you know, keep going. We're back from break and everything. And you know, they'd take a commercial break during a match or something. You know, so it was all timed out, you know. And it was a great learning experience when I was in NEW. Because I got to see that, you know, you get to get behind the scenes and, you know, see what's involved with everything. I mean, especially during like interviews and stuff like that. And it's like, you've only got 4 minutes for this interview, you know, and 30 seconds of that is you walking out there. And another 30 seconds of that is you walking away from there. So, you know, it's just like they even allotted for entrance times. And anybody who's been to the building in West Memphis knows there was only about 20 steps from the locker room to the ring. But your match time included introductions too. So when your music hit, you got your ass to the ring or you were going to lose some match time. So, I mean, you know, it's all timed out and everything, but advertisers rule television.
Why is this not ringing? All right, well, we are going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast, and booked a special guest for Dan here. It's episode 50. It's a milestone. So
for me?
For all of us, but I got a special guest just for you, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. Maybe he can cut a little promo on you, see who it is.
Uh-oh.
Well, hey, buddy, I don't know if I told you this, but I've known Dan for a really long time, and the biggest thing I learned about Dan, I'm surprised he even showed up to work tonight. He's always been the laziest guy I've ever known.
Oh, you some bitch.
the biggest wimp I ever known. I remember one time, And Newbern, he thought he was going to whip everybody's ass in some battle royal. You remember that, Dan?
Yeah, yeah. I remember somebody yelling, "Hey, everybody get Dan."
And everybody did.
And I just kind of sitting there going, okay.
Well, Dan, now that you know who the guest is, I'll let you introduce him.
This is former NXT talent Knuckles Madsen and my good friend, Kevin Nichols.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Good to hear from you, Dan.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we don't really talk enough. Well, you know, busy lives, busy people.
Yeah, you're working in an oil field 24/7 now, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still out. I'm out here right now. Actually, I just got off. I think within the last 24 hours, I probably clocked about 36 hours on the clock in the past day, 24 hours. That's how it works out here, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta cheat your logs and get that overtime, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wussing though. I've only put in 8.5 hours in the last 24 hours, so.
But no, that's good. You know, and that's the thing. I guess it keeps me out here. You know, doing the wrestling so long, and then going down to Florida and doing the WWE thing for so long. You know, I got so accustomed to that. You know, weird work schedule and lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I fit in out here, and you know, why we talk about, you know, with it slowing down out here about getting a job back home, and then I think about.
Oh, did we drop?
Hello? Is he there?
It freaked me out. Okay. Like, I don't know if I can, you know, take some adjustment period.
Yeah. Well, I tell you that.
Did, damn, man. I th-
go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, man, you know, it's so cool to have you on. You know, I've been trying to figure out when Derek would have a good spot to put you in at, and you know, Derek surprised me with you, so that's pretty cool.
I told him because he got a hold of me, and you know, I'm out here in Texas now, and he's like, you know, yeah, I want to bring you on, and you think you can. You'll be available at 7 on Thursday, and it's like a week ago or something. I was like, man, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I will, because it just seems like every time, whenever somebody, like, contacts me to do their radio show or podcast thing, even when I'm out here working, it always seems to work out right. I said, yeah, it always works out right, so I'm pretty sure I'll be available. And I mean, I just left work just now, so I'm like, man, by God, it seems, you know, sometimes, you know, that light seems to shine on you just right.
Yeah, man. Well, I got a question for you. And I think it'd interest everybody here. You know, is there anybody left in NXT that was there when you were there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who all's left there? Because, did we cut out again?
Are there? Did I still talk to that are there when I was down there? Like Scott Dawson, you know, and he's doing really good. You know, had the tag titles down there, and you know, Enzo Cass.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good friends of mine when I was down there. All the Wyatt family, you know, we were buds and shit. Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville. You know, I really hate seeing Adrian Neville broke his ankle like he did.
Yeah, and I know you and Tyler Breeze were good buddies too, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Tyler Breeze, Xavier Woods and Big E Langston down there when I, you know, they're still there. Then you got, like, Jason Jordan and his partner Gable. I only knew Gable a short time. I mean, we kind of made some trips together and stuff, and he's a really cool dude, man. I got to say, man, I really hope, you know, as the past, you know, while since I heard Kurt Angle wants to kind of do his, like, little last run in WWE, I always hope they'd bring Angle in, and then I saw something that
he wants to like team angle with us two guys, which I think would be awesome. I'm all about that, man.
That would be best tag team in the world all over again.
Oh yeah.
Well, Kevin, what got you? What made you a fan of pro wrestling, if you can remember back that far?
Oh man, okay, yeah, I definitely remember, man. I was a kid. Let's see, I was born in January 31st, 1984, and I believe it was right before the Hulk Hogan and Iron Sheik match. It was like right at that time, and I don't really remember that match. I know my dad sat me down on the couch, and I was like, you know, like less than a year old, and watched that, and like, you know, growing up, like my dad liked wrestling, and I had a brother, and we always, you know, wrestled and everything, and I was always, you know, wrestling around with kids I didn't know, you know, got a lot of fights, and, you know, ever since I was like 3 years old, I can't remember, I just always liked that stuff. I've always kind of been like a roughhouse kind of guy, you know, and it's just, it always seemed fun, you know, so I was like, and growing up, I'd always talk about it, you know, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a wrestler. You know, of course, your parents are like, well, you know, that's a long shot of making a good career and stuff. I'm like, well, you know, I don't care. You know, I'd still try it. And, you know, of course, like as a kid, your parents kind of hope that it's like, oh, I hope you grow that phase. You know,
I got to say, the funniest thing I've ever seen in a crowd, in an audience, I guess you'd say, was Nichols' mom. Was every time he'd get in the ring and start pummeling somebody, she'd be on the outside shadow boxing. It was the funniest damn thing you ever seen in your life. It was like she was in the ring with him, beating on that guy. I mean, it was hilarious. And when he was down, she was up out of her chair hollering at him. You know, you better get up. Better get up.
So what you're saying is Damian Mizdow stole his gimmick from Nichols and his mom.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, and my brother was there in the audience one time, and he just put the video camera on my mom, and I think it's on YouTube or something.
Yep, I got to look that up. I got to look that up because it was some of the funniest stuff ever.
And the funny thing about it is, like, you know, you might expect that from, like, you know, some, like, loudmouth redneck mom or something. It, yeah, that's totally not really my mom. My mom's, like, you know, kind of a short, small, kind of, you know, real sensible, dry humor kind of kind of lady, you know. And I told her, once you started coming to those shows, and I was like, oh, that's funny, Mom. It's like you come to the wrestling show, brings out your inner redneck in you. That's
yeah.
Good for you, you know?
We all got to let it out and play sometimes.
Oh, you got to. Yeah, man, that's what I told her. I was like, man, you could have bottled up. You know, you're just going to go crazy and snap one day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a student of the Ken Wayne School, right? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yep, graduated Ken Wayne School. Yes, sir.
Yep, we got I was there probably 3.5 years probably, with Nichols beating me up every 2 days a week.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Oh God, man! I tell you though, that was some of the best training ever because like I would go into some of these other towns and run roughshod over guys after wrestling Nichols twice a week.
Oh yeah. I was talking to DJ the other day about it.
Mo.
He brought it. You know what?
Mo.
Oh, yeah. Talking to the MOE.
Yep.
And it was really funny because we were talking about like when I, you know, because I was always there for, you know, for a long time training and stuff, and then when I left to Florida, I started working in NXT and stuff. You know, he still contacted me, and. And I didn't realize it. I just, you know, when he asked me advice and stuff, I always told him, like, you know, truthfully, like, what I thought, kind of as if, like, what I would do, you know, which doesn't always work for, like, everybody else, you know. But so, like, he'd ask me, you know, this and that, you know, well, what should I do if I get in a guy, you know, or if I get lost or sometime, you know. And what always worked for me was, you know, well, just start beating the shit out of the guy, you know. I was always like, you know, that, like, you know, like, you know, sometimes, you know, you get lost, you grab a hold or this and that, but, and that works.
But then sometimes you get all revved up and, like, you know, if I got lost or if I thought the match was starting to die or people were starting to get bored, it just clicked in my head. Let's just start beating the shit out of this guy, you know? And yep. And that's why, and so I'd always tell him, you know, just start beating this. Yeah, you get in there, just beat the hell out of this guy. And we were talking about that, and he brought up, you know, he's like, yeah, every time he asked, you know, you gave me that advice, you know, I'd always... Yo, and Alan Steele, you know, Alan Steele, and he's a great dude.
Oh,
Alan
yeah.
Steele's super, super great. And so he's like, yeah, you know, I kind of always had to filter most of your advice out through Alan, you know, because he'd say, yeah, because Nichols could go in there and he could beat the hell out of some guys. And that's what he, and that was fine, you know, but that doesn't really quite work for a guy like Mo or, you know, just
5 foot he's nothing.
Like, wow. And then that made me think, like, wow, you know, yeah, it's not. I didn't think of that, you know, wow, you know. But I gave my honest advice, you know, but I guess, you know, as if I was giving advice to myself, you know, but yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, funny stuff.
Yep.
Man, it's good times. But, oh, okay, so Dan, I meant to tell you.
Yeah.
I saw those pictures of you and Terrence Ward at the Minglewood, man. Hey, you're looking good, dude.
Oh, appreciate it, yeah. We were live streaming that night. From Minglewood Hall, and I was kind of taking care of the interviews and everything, and T-Bone was doing the announcing and stuff, and, you know, me and T-Bone proclaimed ourselves the handsomest looking announce team within 300 miles, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'll guarantee it, man. Yeah, man, and the show looked good, too, man. I mean, especially like at Minglewood, man, you know, the location of it, and, you know, it's a pretty new venue to go to, and
they've got more lighting options and stuff like that than most of the venues around here.
If there was a show,
if
there is a local Memphis show you could put right now on Memphis TV, local TV, it would be Wildfire Wrestling.
Oh, it'd have to be. Yeah, because production value wise,
man, like a fairly.
You still there? Oh,
yeah, he's still there, kind of.
Come on, guys.
Oh, there you are.
We're there.
Did your crappy internet crap out
on
us
again? No, it's using my cell phone data.
Oh, okay. Y'all hear me now?
Ah, yeah, there you go. There you go.
You there? You still there?
Are we good?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go.
y'all got me?
Yeah,
we got you. We got you. Keep talking. Keep talking.
So, yeah, but
okay.
If...
Hey, so you was asking me... You go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that if you took one company here in Memphis, you know, we right now the big ones are Wildfire, there's Marvel Elite Wrestling, there's SGWA, there's SPWA up about an hour away up in Selmer. But if you took any of those companies and tried to put them on TV, I think Wildfire would probably be, right now, would be the only one that's television ready.
Yeah. Production-wise, they're the only ones, really, that are, production-wise, they're the only ones that are ready, yeah.
And I think also, you know, I mean, I'm not on board with all the talent they have and some of the little gimmicks they try and kind of achieve. But for the most part, I'd say talent-wise... They kind of have it too. I've been gone from the area for quite a while, so I don't know kind of what everybody's doing, but I kind of see on the internet and stuff. It seems like that deal, I don't know, it seems like RSWF has a pretty good setup too. I've never been there, but it just kind of seems like, you know, it kind of seems to be investing some time and money into it, which is good to see, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's out off Perkins Road. I think Allen's doing a lot of work for them.
Yep.
Bishop Cage. Yep.
Bishop.
Who else?
There's another guy that trained with us. Well, it was only a short time when I was there. But that other big black dude.
Charles.
I think his name is Charles. Yeah, Charles.
Yeah.
And,
I think he's over there with them now, too, isn't he?
Yeah. Pretty sure, yep. And which is good to see, man. You know, I didn't really get to know that guy too well, but from what I did know of him, you know, he seemed like a good guy, you know, and it's good to see him still hanging with it, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, man, he was a freaking hoss. He was a monster.
What? Oh yeah.
He was like Bishop Cage times two.
Bishop's Cage is scary to me. Yeah.
He can make
yeah,
two.
Bishop's not no lightweight.
No. No, Bishop ain't no Bishop's a freaking bouncer at Club 152. So, you know, he's out there Don Bill throwing people out on Bill Street every Saturday night.
Is that his official training now?
I'm sure it is. He probably throws them from the second story.
That's so funny.
Hell yeah, man.
Well, what year did you go to Florida Championship Wrestling? Or was it still Florida Championship Wrestling when you first went down there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2012, and I went down there right as they were changing over to NXT. So, like, when I did my tryout, it was still FCW. And then by the time I got down there, you know, signed the contract and was ready to go, it was just turning into NXT. And, so it was 2012. And it was good to see. I mean, because it's good to see that, you know, they did, like, the NXT thing. They did it, you know, I mean, because, yeah, it was a crappy show. It didn't really mean anything for what, to me. I mean, some people might have just really loved the deal that no one watched. I don't know. But, you know, to like actually do like an NXT thing, like part of development on like, you know, the way it like grew and actually expanded, you know, it was like, you know, they did it right. Triple H, you know, had a lot to do with that. And he did things right. You know, Triple H really invested a lot of time, effort, and into really making it to what, I mean, I thought, you know, from just small shows and getting guys and then Twitter now, you know, own show on the network. And then, you know, they make all these live shows and stuff, and they're like pretty big venues and arenas and stuff. It's like, it's pretty badass, you know, it's really good for them, you know?
Yeah. Well, for our listeners that don't know, you came up as a character called Knuckles Madsen. What was that character?
Man, at first it was just a continuation of where I left off on the indies, you know, just like Killer Knuckles. It was pretty much the same thing that I just kind of made a little more. And then down there, you know, it expanded to more, you know, I kind of played with it more where it wasn't like so much a psycho killer. I did little things where, you know, you try and find your avenue, which is gonna, you know, get you to the main roster and stuff. So,
I know at one time you kind of turned it into a military gimmick, I think.
Yeah.
Military type thing.
I did a little Nazi kind of spinoff. We were the knuckleheads kind of thing, you know, and, and that was really cool. And then, my favorite I ever did was the clown. Knuckles the clown.
I love the video of it. I'm pretty sure there's a YouTube video of it somewhere.
There is.
And the guy that's taking the video freaks out when he sees it.
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, wait a minute. Right now there's a few, I mean, the videos I did, and then someone told me about there's some other Knuckles the Clown videos. It's not me. It's some other like clown guy going through a drive through and some stuff, which is not me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the one I'm specifically thinking about is I think you jumped Bo Dallas or something, didn't you?
I don't know. I saw this video.
Was it a tape like of a match? Like a
yeah. No, it was a match. It was right before a match, and you came out and you had balloons and you were rolling around and acting all crazy and everything. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. It's like the guy that's taking the video literally goes, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, I
that's when I knew. I was like, he's got him in the palm of his hand.
Oh man, Dan, it was so good. It was so fun, and I mean, it really took me down quite a few notches when they you know, it was, everybody liked it, and then for some reason one day it came in, they don't do that again, Kevin, and I was like, you know,
then I asked other people that kind of creative opinion, you know, did power and stuff. Nobody had the same answer for me. So, which made me think, you know, this is bullshit. You know, I mean, if you don't want me to do something, you know, why, you know, it should be kind of clear across the board, but no one had the same answer. And then most of the answers I got were bullshit. And it was like, what the fuck, man, you know? And then,
because
it was good.
It wasn't very close to when, was that Matt Osborne that was Doink the Clown?
Yeah, when Matt Bourne died?
Matt Bourne, I'm sorry. Yeah. That was probably about a year or two after he died, wasn't it?
It was a little after 6 months after he died.
Okay.
And you remember in TCW, we were a tag team for quite a while.
That's right.
And you know, I thought, you know, okay. But it wasn't like a Doink the Clown kind of thing.
Right,
know?
Right.
It's much different. But then I thought, you know, okay, you know, kind of homage to my old partner and stuff. And then, you know, and plus, you know, I've always been interested in serial killers. And then I kind of put the John Wayne Gacy spin on it and thought, you know, okay, this is kind of cool too, you know. And I mean, I worked it real well and it was fun and stuff, you know. But it's funny, you brought that video of that match. And actually, the guy I had that match with that night, I think it was CJ Parker.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's kicking ass in Japan right now, which is really cool. But that show, I guess the night before, I got bit by a spider, man, and it messed me up. I mean, like, I was sick. I was throwing up. I was like I couldn't even stay for training. Like, I was done, man. Sweating,
wow.
Dehydrated. Like, I was like, felt like I was like dying. But I still made it to that show, and some people were like, well, you know, some people that got contracts from other avenues other than wrestling, you know, they don't quite understand, you know, how we look at things and stuff. And you know, some guys that were like, you know, on the practice team of a pro football team or this and that, and they're like, you know,
yeah,
why are you here right now? Well, you know, well, goddamn it, I got a contract to fucking wrestle. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make something happen here, you know. I get, like, you know, you only get so many opportunities sometimes, like, you know, trying to do the best with this opportunity. Don't you know anything what that's about? You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a football player, and I didn't get signed for my good looks. You know what I'm saying? They signed me to a contract based on, you know, the way I do my shit. You know, I got to show them my shit.
Yeah.
But that particular night you're talking about, man, dude, Dan, I was. That was probably the worst I ever felt going to the ring.
Yeah.
I remember that very vividly. Oh, it was, but it was still fun. You know, and CJ Parker, he's a good guy, man.
Yeah.
I, for one, am extremely afraid of clowns.
yeah.
That video made it about 100 times worse. Just think that honk honk you did with it was just so damn creepy.
Oh, man. He probably made you pee your pants then.
Hey, and another thing about me, and we did promos all the time down there, and I did a lot of promos with it. And it was like they just kept getting better and better and better. And I'm thinking, man, the promos are getting better and better. You know, once they start letting me, like, you know, work more matches with it, and I kind of get, you know, little thing down, you know, it should be good to go, you know. And yeah, you know,
well,
can't change
I
the past.
I gotta be like, you know, you know, when I went and had my tryout and my little thing I did with WWE in Birmingham and everything, Kevin told me, you know, go say hi to Bray Wyatt. You know, I told him, you know, to be looking for you and everything. And I said hi to Bray Wyatt and everything, and Bray Wyatt gushed over Kevin. I mean, they were like, man, we tried to get him in the Wyatt family. We tried. You know, and I was just going, oh, my God. You know, this is like, you know, what a perfect fit. You know, if they dropped the ball on anything with Kevin, they dropped the ball by not putting him in the Wyatt family. And, I mean, they could have kept everybody they had now and, you know, added him in later, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, Kevin is the character of
that he's developed since I've known him is that character. You know, it's that character that fits perfectly in with the Wyatt family. So, I mean, you know.
And they tried. We did promos together. We tried to show him this and that and stuff. And Bray himself, I mean, he went above and beyond to try to get me with him and stuff. I mean, it's like from day one, when I first got there, you know, and I used to show up to work, like, you know, just like I do with the cutoff shirts and you know, the button down flannel cutoffs and, you know, stuff. And it was like, you know, I walked in and he was there. It was like first or second day. And he like just stopped and stared at me and pointed at me. I thought he was just messing with me. I was like, oh no, hey, yeah, don't be trying to tricks with me, man. You know? and yeah, man, we got to be buddies and stuff. And then, I'm not trying to take credit for nothing, but, Aaron, I really like that guy. Good friends. And then Luke Harper, great guy and stuff. And then we were talking stuff and, I don't know. It's funny. I mean, not very many people are going to take like fashion advice from me and stuff, but, we were talking and stuff like, man, you know, I was talking like Luke Harper and everyone. I was like, man, y'all should be wearing like shit like I wear on a regular day. You know, y'all should be wearing like shirts like this and stuff. And remember Harper's like, well, where do you get that shit? I was like, well, just look at the truck stops. We always stop at truck stops. You know, I told him, like, you know, it's that's where I get most of my clothes is at truck stops, man. Just, you know, and before, you know, he just always wore like the dirty wife beater and stuff. And then I was like, oh, cool. He's wearing the cut off flannels and stuff. And, you know, Eric Rowan, you know, I think like when most when he travels, he wears, you know, I was like, oh, that's cool, man. Taking fashion tips from a dirty redneck boy. That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Good guys.
When you first got down there, who were the trainers?
When I first was there, you had Norman Smiley. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who's totally awesome. Norman Smiley's totally awesome, too. I don't think that dude ever gets old.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, you know, but then you had Steamboat, who's one of the best. I mean, I put Steamboat out of everybody I've been trained by. Steamboat's, he's up there at the top. Joey Mercury, Terry Taylor.
Wow.
And Billy Gunn came in shortly after that. Who was it? Robbie Brookside came from England.
Yeah.
I think he's still down there. He's,
yep.
He's super badass. Nick Densmore, I was down there when Nick Densmore was there for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that didn't last long enough. I mean, I don't know why they got rid of him so quick, because he was like one of the few guys that was actually showing these new guys like actually how to work. Like, you know, not just here's a move, here's how to wrestle, this and that. He was showing guys like, you know, here's how you work, you know. Which, you know, you didn't really just get taught down there, you know, how to sell and stuff. You just, like, maybe you pick it up, maybe you don't, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you know. He was especially good for the beginner guys. I mean, yeah, they got, you know, I don't know why they got rid of Steamboat. Well, I mean, actually, I think I do know. It was political reasons or something. You know, Steamboat's his own man, you know, and, you know, he's a straight-up guy. Tell you, you know. He speaks for himself instead of like speaks of other people's opinions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Which is few and far between in the wrestling business.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Then you had Sarah Del Rey. She got a job as a Divas coach. She had tryouts with me when I'm my tryouts. And, I mean, she's done a great job at what she's doing. I mean, just look at the women's wrestling in that company right now, how it's changed and how it seems to be actually good, you know?
Yep. How much wrestling do you get to watch these days?
I try not to watch too much, except I watch some old stuff. Like, you know, mostly I watch like some like old WCW or old NWA stuff or cool. like, you know, the older WWF stuff, you know, I don't really, you know, unless it's one of my buddies that I was down there with. Now, I will definitely take time to keep up with them because, you know, being friends with them and stuff and actually, you know, still talking to them, you know, find like, you know, Enzo and Cash are coming out, you know, oh yeah, I got to check that out, you know.
Did you see their debut on Dawson, Monday Night Raw 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I don't know how much you see of Scott Dawson, but I'm going to tell you, man, Scott Dawson's probably the kind of wrestler that you would really like to watch, man. And, I mean, I got to work with him and see more than just, like, match-wise stuff, just actually wrestling. He's, like, one of the best, purest wrestling wrestler guys that I've been around. I mean, he does it right, you know, and he's really smooth and really convincing about it. As I can't say enough about Scott Dawson's wrestling ability. I mean, he's not 6'3" and, you know, just super jacked and stuff, but he's I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, they compare him to Arn Anderson and stuff a lot, but, you know, I think of him as like Benoit, just, you know, really, really intense and very intent on what he's doing in the ring. You know, everything's with a purpose and is like so good and so crisp, man.
I think
he's
in a tag team with Wilder right now, isn't he?
He's the Revival.
Yeah.
The Revival. Yes. Yeah.
And they are killing it.
Oh, yeah.
In NXT.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're coming around.
Go ahead.
They're giving him his just due, man.
And you're also friends with Tyler Breeze, right?
Yeah. Buddy's with Tyler. Yeah. Great guy. Good guy.
And what'd you think when he finally got to make his debut on the big roster?
Oh, man. Yeah. That was awesome to see. You know, before they started that Tyler Breeze gimmick, though, you know, he was Mike Dalton, I believe, and I mean, you know, while he was doing the Mike Dalton thing where it was just like, you know, just a fun to watch wrestling guy, you know, you really get to see like his pure ability and he's kind of making a name as a Tyler Breeze gimmick, which is really cool, you know, and he can kind of use his ability in like spurts and stuff. It's really cool to know like, you know, what these guys are really capable of outside of just their gimmick or the character they're playing. But yeah, really happy to see that, man. You know, it's really cool. I really hope they do more with it because he's got a lot of potential, you know. There's a lot to work with there, you know. They just, it's the thing about it down there, you know, there's a lot, you know, with every individual person, there's a lot to work with and there's a lot of potential. It's just that there's a lot of guys and they have the process where they, you know, the creative team this and have you got with them about this. And, you know, we're like the old days. It's like, you know, say Macho Man Randy Savage is going to do this angle or this interview and shit. And it's like, you know, okay, you ready, Macho Man? Here comes Savage, and Savage is doing Savage and shit. And he doesn't have to like have like a board meeting with the producers and all this shit. Well, we kind of want Savage to kind of be like this, and but you know, Randy likes to, you know, and then, well, we're thinking about having him say this, and you know, it wasn't quite like it. It was just like, you know, okay, yeah, Savage, here you go, and let's do it. And it was like, you know, back in those, that's why I like watching. I see more like the older stuff because it was more organic. You know, everything was more spontaneous, and you know, it was more, you know, it was just like, you know. You can feel it more because that's kind of more who they were, you know, rather than, you know, Tyler is pitching us this gimmick for this character and we kind of want to work on this and we've spent some time on this promos and we like how he talks like this. And it was like, you know, wait, which is okay. And it works kind of, but it's like, you know, it gets to be like so manufactured to where it's like, you know, yeah, that's kind of why, like, you know, I think Bray Wyatt is stands out so much to me and a lot of people other than the creative team, obviously. I mean, it's like, what the hell, you know? And maybe that's why the creative team isn't like, you know, so much like, you know, with it, I guess, you know, like what you get from Bray Wyatt, like that's coming, that's spewing out from his inside, you know what I mean? Like he he doesn't need to be told, you know, hey, when you go out there, Bray, just, you know, talk like this, say this, and kind of put this little metaphor here in your promo. And then, you know, when you're in the match, do this thing where you stand on your head and walk backwards, and that'll be cool and stuff. It's like, you know, that's Wyatt. That's him.
He thought all that up. I actually, when I was in Birmingham, I was backstage, you know, we did our thing, and then we just kind of hung out until we were needed. And, you know, turns out they didn't need us that night for anything, really. They got one of the other guys to do a bit, but, you know, the other three of us were just there to show out and show what we could do and cut a promo, and they'd tell us what we were doing and stuff like that. So, but one of the things that I got to see backstage, they went in over into this kind of fenced off with a chain link fenced area, you know, and made it all dark looking and everything. And they were cutting a Bray Wyatt promo in the area, you know. And I just thought, well, you know, I'll sit over here and just watch this happen, you know, as I'm standing right there. I'm making sure I'm not in anybody's way. I'm not in camera view or anything. And I'm just going to sit over to the side and watch this happen. And they did the promo. Triple H is watching, you know, and they go through the whole promo and everything. They do their thing. And, you know, it's creepy as hell, just like any other Bray Wyatt promo, you know, and they're all standing around staring into nothing, and Bray's saying his stuff and everything, and everything, all right. And they get done, and Triple H walks up, and he goes, all right, that was great, but do it creepier. And I'm like, there's a creepier to this? Holy shit. And sure enough, they did it all over again, and it was creepier. Yeah. So yeah, man, when he's told to turn it up a notch, he can definitely turn it up a notch. I'll tell you.
Yeah, Triple H is really good. I mean, you know, what kind of makes, you know, Triple H being in the position he is, like, you know, especially with the NXT and developmental stuff, and you know, really being in charge of a lot of things. What's really cool about that is, you know, Triple H has been in those spots. You know, he's been the talent. You know, he's been the wrestler, putting the time in the ring and the training and stuff. So, I mean, he knows by experience, you know, what everybody's going through, and, you know, he's experienced, like, you know, the hardships and stuff. So he's got a good understanding, and he also has a good understanding of how to, you know, how to make improvements happen, you know, make things better, you know, or, you know, you got something good, and he can make you put stank on it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And which, you know, which is good. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a player's coach makes it happen, you know, rather than, like, you know, the businessman, which is like, well, that's good, but, you know, it's not really getting us where we need to go. So, you know, you just need to go ahead and fire him, and we'll get somebody else to take the spot, you know? Oh, it's like, you know, well, what good does that do your company? You know, you already invested this and that in money into the guy, you know, and we're almost there, you know, you know what I mean? I mean,
well, this has been a very fun interview, Kevin. Man, I thank you for coming on and being our special guest for episode 50 of the Oversell Podcast. And
hey, man, anytime, anytime, man. Seriously, you know, y'all just want to pull me on, or you know, just shoot the shit or whatever, you know.
And I'll shout this to the world. I owe my wrestling career to Kevin Nichols. You know, because for 3 years straight. Got in there, and he bumped me around the ring and let me bump him around the ring for 3 years straight. You know, he's probably the person I've wrestled the most in my entire career. Because, like, for the first year or two straight, that's all it was going to towns and wrestling Kevin or Eric or Kevin Charles, my future tag team partner. You know, we kept it in the school usually, you know, there's a lot of people didn't know how we worked. And once they saw how we worked and they knew, oh my God, this guy can work, you know, they were like, all right, let's wrestle, you know? So, I owe my career to you.
What I'm saying?
Go ahead.
Oh, so Dan, what I was saying though was, you know, I appreciate it, you know, and that's a really good compliment, man, and it means a lot to me. But, you know as well as I do, how many people come and go, you know, in this business really quick, you know, and we've seen it, you know, guys come and then guys quit before it even gets hard, you know.
Oh yeah.
because in this business, it is much easier to quit, you know, as if, as in anything, you know, it's easier to quit than it is to put the effort in and actually work at it. And so, you know, I really appreciate saying, but, you know, you really kept yourself in it. And you know, I mean, while it's easy to quit, you know, you kept on going and stuff, which, you know, like I said before, you know, I was already graduated and I was out there working, you know, I didn't have to be there, you know, except for my own want to be there, you know, to for my own improvement, you know, and that's why I was always there because, you know, just working in the Mid-South was never good enough, you know, and, you know, I really appreciate you sticking through it because, you know, especially through a lot of those years back then, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on, like, you know, those were kind of like, you know, I look at a lot of stuff outside of wrestling. What I was doing was, you know, it was kind of like my dark ages, you know, it was kind of in a dark spot, you know, and wrestling and working out was like, that was like my uplifting moments, you know, that was like my therapy. That was like my antidepressant. I would, you know, go in there and let's get it on, you know, let's get it, you know, and, you know, and, it really got me through a lot of hard times and stuff. And, you know, Dan, I really appreciate you sticking through it too, man, because you've done a good job, man. And man, you know,
not bad for a 30-year-old hanging with 25-year-olds, huh?
Yeah, and I was going to bring that up, and I kind of went around it, but because when you started, you were in your 30s, you know, and I was still, you know, young 20s, you know, just, you know, piss and vinegar, you know, and you know, and especially starting out, when you start out, it's really tough because your body has never experienced anything like it with the impact and everything you got to go through and stuff, you know, and that just makes it even that much harder to stick with it, you know. So, I mean, you know, I think it was Ken or somebody asked me, you know, you're not obligated to be here every workout, every time. You're not obligated to be here every time, and I always was, And I said, well, yeah, but, I'm here for, like, you know, these other guys that are, you know, need training. But, you know, I'm also here for myself, you know, because I'm not where I need to be yet. I'm not, you know, I'm not under contract with anybody. I'm not getting a guaranteed pay that's going to pay my house note and my car note and stuff, you know, which is what I want to be. So I'm going to just train and train and train until I get to that spot, you know, and, so, you know, I did it for me. I did it for anybody that was willing to train. I think somebody told me one time, like, there was a beginner, like, man, thank you for coming down so much and training us new guys. And I was like, no. Thank you, new guys, for coming, because if you guys were not there in the ring training with me, you know, I can only do so much by myself, you know, running the ropes and stuff. And once you got that, you got it. You know, I was like, you know, shit, you know, I can't, you know. Yeah, you can only have so many matches with a broomstick, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, man, you know, we done well.
We got a tweet from someone that wanted us to tell you hello for him. A gentleman by the name, he's a friend of the show, Dustin Five Star, wanted us to tell you hello.
Nice.
Oh, Dustin Star. Hey, well, hey, that's great, man. Dustin Star tweeted, and it's I'm really glad he did. So now we can talk about him. Let's talk shit.
Nice.
Give Dustin Star his due credit, because he was he really helped me out, especially when I was kind of on the verge of making that next step, you know, but I just kind of didn't know how. And, you know, Dustin was down in FCW, you know, quite a little while before I was. And, you know, and then Dustin came back and he was working out and stuff. And we were talking outside of somewhere, you know, or at my house or something. And you know, he just started giving me some advice, you know, on, like, you know, kind of how to really get myself out there and get myself, you know, deep into the radar where they're looking, you know. And I really owe a lot to Dustin, you know, because he kind of reached out to me. He didn't have to, you know. Like I said, it's easier to quit than put forward the effort. In the same sense, it's easier to not
it's easier to not help somebody than it is, you know, to help someone, because, you know, helping someone takes effort and not helping takes no effort. So, but he reached out to me and gave me this really helpful advice, and I really I did pretty much what he said to the T. And actually he actually, and Dan, you know me, I'm not good with computers, you know.
Yeah.
And so some of the stuff is like, you know, well, you know, type up this and make this resume and put a picture on it and stuff. I'm like, whoa, Dustin. You know, type a resume and then put a picture on it? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, I could draw the picture and handwrite, you know, I'm like, you know, he's like, and so he pretty much took on himself. He's like, okay, you get these promo pictures done and you put the promo picture together and then you get the promo DVD together and all this shit. I'll help you with this resume and put a picture on it. Don't worry about that.
Wow. That's cool.
That doesn't surprise me from the conversations I've had with Dustin Starr. He's been cool to me.
Before that, you know, previous experience in the business, like, you know, we didn't have, you know, our paths, you know, only crossed so much. And, you know, when it did, you know, we didn't really work each other a whole lot. We had a few matches in which I really enjoyed those matches. He's a great worker and he does his shit good, you know, and they were fun. But, you know, we were never like, prior to this, like, you know, buddies and stuff. And like, you know, so, you know, you always kind of see someone from a little distance and you kind of think, you know, you make different opinions of them and stuff. And it's like, you know, damn, doesn't really, he really stepped out and stepped, you know, he put the hand out and really helped me up. And, I really thank Dustin Starr a lot for what he did. Cause he didn't have to, I mean, you know.
All right. Well, Kevin, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. Are you on social media?
Oh yeah. I'm sure I'm on Facebook. I do got a Twitter. I don't really do. They made me get one when I was in NXT. I don't know.
You and the rest of us, me and Mike, are like Twitter outlaws. Yeah. We refuse. I mean, we occasionally retweet stuff, but yeah.
I got the Facebook. That's good enough, you know.
Oh yeah.
Well, Kevin, man, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us, and we'll have to get you back on the show soon so you can tell us more funny Dan stories.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Hey, yeah, man. I really do appreciate it, man. It's good shit. And
we're going to take a quick break. This is the Oversell Podcast. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Kid Nichols. Knuckles the clown, the creepiest clown that has ever lived.
It was so funny. It was like, he did that. He did the knuckleheads thing. He did
the knuckleheads thing would have worked.
The knuckleheads thing was awesome. I think what stumped that was
CM Punk
hand gesture was too close to the hand gesture that he was doing when he did the promo videos for it. If he'd have just thought of another hand gesture to do, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, so, we are the knuckleheads.
The knuckleheads.
Well, let's do it.
He did that, and then when I think right before they let him go, he tried to reinvent himself as a country music singer of some sort. He was bringing a guitar and had tassels down his pants and everything. He tried a bunch of stuff to get over, you know, and they just kind
that Knuckles a clown thing would have worked.
Yeah, they dropped the ball with him. They seriously dropped the ball with him. I agree. You know, he lived, breathed, and eat, you know, wrestling. He was a pro wrestler in every sense of the word when he wrestled, and you know, I'll preach to the heavens. WWE dropped the ball when they let go of him.
I agree. Let's do a quick Memphis wrestling moment, Mike.
All right, this one's technically about a week off, but when I was reading it, it was too awesome to skip. So this was technically April 6th, 81. My level's okay because I don't hear myself very well anymore.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Sound okay, yeah. To me. That's better.
I think I got to put a lot more gain on you, Mike.
Yeah, because, well, not that kind of.
Gain on that.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, now you can hear yourself. Got to turn yourself down.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Just more editing for you. That's the only reason I'm doing this.
There you go.
Okay, April 6th, 81. We had Jimmy Kent versus Eddie Gilbert. Tojo Yamamoto versus the Big Red. The Bounty Hunters with Jimmy Kent versus Chief Thundercloud and Coco Ware. The Turk and El Toro versus Vinny Romeo and Ron Sexton. Dutch Mantel versus Sonny King.
Nice.
Winner gets Southern Heavyweight title match. Southern Tag Team title match. The titles versus the masks. Mr. Onito and Masio Fuji with Tojo Yamamoto versus Bill Dundee and the Dream Machine.
Not very nice.
Main event tag team match. Jerry Lawler and Giant Frazier versus Dory and Terry Funk with Jimmy Hart. And then in small print, Jimmy Hart will be suspended above the ring.
Nice.
Probably one of those suspended above the ring in a cage. Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Tag title claimed. And this is one of the main reasons I wanted to read this one. Bill Dundee and the Dream Machine have won the AWA Southern Tag Team Wrestling title from Mr. Onito and Masif. Okay. Apparently they changed them. Claiming the win in front of 8,147 fans.
Hell
at the Mid-South
yeah.
Coliseum. 8,100 people. In other matches, Jerry Lawler and Giant Frazier team to defeat Dory Jr. and Terry Funk in the Texas Tornado main event. Jimmy Kent met defeat at the hands of Eddie Gilbert. Tojo Yamamoto defeated Big Red. Coco Ware and Chief Thundercloud lost to the Bounty Hunters. The Turk and El Toro trounced Ron Sexton. That's a word you don't hear very often.
Trounced.
Trounced Ron Sexton and Vinny Romeo.
Commercial appeal getting with the thesaurus there.
And Dutch Mantel defeated Sonny King in front of 8,100 people at the Mid-South Coliseum.
That is incredible. It really is. 81,000. Show me a territory that was doing those kind of numbers.
I was looking in the book one night, and if you go back probably about 2 years before that, they were having numbers in the 10,000s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, geez, you know, wrestling was such a a refined thing back then for this
well,
area.
It's because we didn't have any professional sports.
Yeah,
that's
true.
We had the Memphis
yeah.
Tigers. But
yeah.
other than that, that's, you know, professional wrestling was all
occasional
we had.
Football team with
yeah.
the XFL and
the USFL,
the
showboats,
the yep. hound dogs, and
the hound dogs. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, as we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, guys, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week?
And I'm going first because I've got mine. It's Gallows and fucking Anderson.
There you go.
Woo! Bullet Club. Holy shit!
You know,
where's the Tylenol?
Yeah. Yeah, head rush there,
George. You got a Superstar of the Week. Go ahead and tell us now. The other two guys, give us theirs.
You're up.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I'll do Nichols for surprising me.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'll do Nichols for surprising me, not you for surprising me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a superstar, so.
I'm going Cesaro.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, this has been a great episode and a lot of fun. We're going to get out of here. The best way to get to this podcast is subscribing to it on iTunes. While you're there, give us a 5-star review. Give us some comments. Let us know what we're doing good and what we can do better. Also, head over to oversellpodcast.com. And check out the Amazon link. George has given us his Superstar of the Week, and he is saying Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nice.
Can't go wrong there.
But be sure to head over to OverSellPodcast.com. Check out the Amazon link and shop, shop, shop so you can help out this podcast. And guys, man, this has been a great time. This is the Oversell Podcast.